I'm from Auburn, and my name is Polo. I go with Marco. Wow, it is great to be here tonight. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week for me. We came up for the conference, and just were so blessed to be here. And I would be amiss if I didn't right away thank this church for hosting that. I know it was great work on all of your part, from the maintenance guys getting everything done, all of you guys praying, putting it together. Thank you so much for allowing Pastor Gary and the team from World Challenge to come here and put that on. We just came as pastors, my son and myself, all the way from Alabama, to be a part of that. And I said, wow, just to come and see some of your heroes here, Pastor Carter and Gary preaching. I'd never heard Francis Chen. I'd read his book and was just so blessed by his humility. And then Tully and Trevigian. I have to say that real careful, because as a Southerner and a Baptist, if you say it too fast, they'll think that you're speaking in tongues and want an interpretation. But it was awesome. It was awesome. Usually you say it's intimidating to come and try to step and feel your hero's shoes. After those two young guys, it's not their shoes I'm worried about filling. It's their skinny jeans. And I think, to God, I'm just not there anymore. But wow, what a neat thing to see what God is doing with Francis Chen over all the way on the West Coast, and Tully and all the way down on the East Coast, that God has a voice in places that otherwise you wouldn't know. What a blessing for Times Square Church to invite them in, because I can tell you, I've seen this before. Not only were you blessed by their ministry and hearing the word that God given them, but they were changed. I saw it before when Ravi Zacharias was here years ago. I thought, I've heard Ravi Zacharias preach that exact same word, but I sat there and watched him preach. I thought, what's different? And I realized there was a tear in his eye, and it came from the anointed here. He said that from the pulpit. He said, this church has been a changing point to me. So I thank you, Times Square Church, from the ushers and all the security. Thank you so much for allowing us all to come here and be a part of it. And I just want to share, because I know that there are guests here tonight. And I love Sunday night service here at Times Square Church. Hearing the testimonies, you think, what can you add to it? You can't add anything to it. But you can say this, that even those of us who are ministers, our story is not that much different. It's not that much different. I grew up in the theater too, Marco. It was called the Baptist Church. And it's true. It's true, because we learned to wear the mask. I did. I won't blame anybody. I grew up in the rural South, and I learned to wear the mask to survive. I grew up very poor. My mom and dad loved me, but like all of us, there were issues there. And I can remember going to school and having people make fun of the way you dress. And so you learn to put on a mask, and I did it well. Like Rod Stewart says, you wear it well. I wore it well. Like the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby, wearing a face that you keep in the jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? I came from Society Hill. And there were lonely times in my life, and I learned to mask that loneliness and hide that loneliness by putting on a face. You know, I was a student who come to school ragged, and everybody said, good boy, good boy, good boy, because I made all straight E's back then for excellent. And I felt good until I realized they said the same thing to their dogs. Good boy, good boy, good boy. And so I learned to be the bad boy, the bad boy, the bad boy. We moved from the country into housing projects. It's never easy being a housing project. Try being the only white kid in the housing project in 1973. It wasn't easy, but I put on the mask, and I could wear it well. I went to school. I was a straight-A student. I was a star athlete. I was a president of every club and everything. I could change as quick as any chameleon to fit where I was at. And church was just a part of it. I went to church. God had moved in my life, but there was no founding. There was no grounding to that. And so church became just another place to wear another mask. And it was difficult. It was difficult. I can remember going to move into a different school, thinking, you know, how did I fit in there with this crowd? And so I would learn to to do whatever it took at that time or at that place. But in my heart, there was still that loneliness, an emptiness. And God, in His divine mercy, allowed me to play in football. Again, another mask I wore of an athlete. I broke my back playing football in high school. And I went to the doctor. I could walk. I was in numbness and pain, but I thought, I'll go to the doctor. They'll fix it. And you know, I'll wear the mask of a wounded warrior, but they didn't fix it right away. It took 15 months of my life laying in a hospital. 15 months, a year of my life gone. So I wear the mask of the cripple boy. I went back to school. Only now I have a cane, and everybody called me Stick Man. Everybody would make fun of me. I remember what it's like to sit down at the lunchroom table and have everybody get up and leave. But my dad said, no, you don't complain. You don't whine. You take control. And so I did. I ran for mayor in high school. Almost won. Yeah, I was involved in everything. But inside I realized how much of that was me and how much was not me. I wore the mask so many times, so many ways, that this fear came on that said, what's the mask and what is me? What is real and what's not real? You know, sometimes you think you got to adapt. You know, if you're in Wall Street, you wear a certain shoe. If you're in the village or, you know, go to Williamsburg, you put on a different cloth. But soon it becomes what's real and what's not. In my life, I remember going through that, and I looked at all my friends going through that. We would mask our pain with drugs. We would mask our loneliness with free love, which we found out was neither free nor love. But we did it. We did it well. And we did it until the point where it says, not only do we mask what we wear, but we begin to mask God. We put the mask on God to fit who we needed Him to be at the time, as if we called the shots. And all at once, you know, He's not just there on a stained glass window. We make Him, well, God, we need You to do this for us, and we need You to be this for us. And it becomes so confusing that all at once you just think, what is reality? You know, what is the play out there? How is it any different from what's going on inside your brownstone or your one-room flat? Why is it any different? What's real? And I remember in my life, I just thought, man, you know, I didn't want to die because I was too Baptist. I believed in hell. I said, I'm not dying because I believe I'll probably go to hell the way I'm living. And then I thought maybe I'd take a lot of drugs and overdose, but I thought I don't want to waste all those drugs. It's like a lot of drugs to waste on one time killing yourself or ODing or whatever. And I was just walking around, best I could walk, with canes. I had canes I had to walk with. And I went to a little Baptist church and was peeking in the window. I'd been to the church all my life. But on this time, I'm just going to peek, not to be. And there was a girl singing, not preaching, and she's saying, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. No, that's the one thing to me was clear. Christ on the cross was God unmasked. It's the one thing about God that I could understand. All my dope friends could understand. All my religious friends could understand. Everybody could understand. You can confuse everything else about God you want to confuse, but God on the cross is clear. You can deny Him, but you cannot be confusing about it. Because here's God come to say, listen, I know you have a hard time understanding Rick Hagin's. And so I want to make it very clear, painfully clear. Nails in the hand are painful. And the feet are painful. It's painfully clear. I want you to know who I am. And I tell you, that night at that little church, I went down front. I'd been down front a dozen times, 100 times. I had been preaching since I was 9 years old. But I said, I'm not here to wear a mask or play a game. I want to make sure that I know that this God on the cross is real in my life. And see, when you realize who Christ is, He clarifies who you are. I can say this, I did not always know who I was, but I know who I belong to, that I was His. You know, who am I? Who am I, Valjean says in Les Miserables. Who am I? I said, I'm His. I'm His. And God began to walk in my life. He began to use me, and I still dealt with dealing with masks. I remember being at Brother Dave's school, and I thought, I don't talk real good. I would practice in front of a mirror like Brother Dave. God has called you. I would practice that until Brother Dave caught me one time. And his great, great spiritual revelation knowledge to me was this: Rick, be who you are. Be yourself. Right back there in that back room, he said that to me. And I said, God, this is who I am. I still at times think I could speak better. I could do more, could do different, do less. I listen to the sermons. And then I think, God, what do you do? Where do you go? And I can tell you, as a preacher, it can be confusing, but there's nothing confusing about coming to the cross and saying, that's where I go, to the cross. Everything I need, everything that I want is there. And God made flesh, put upon a cross. And so I was thinking, I said, God, this journey that I'm on, I've been preaching a lot of years. I've been a few places here and there. And if you were to try to define Rick Hagin's, I think I can't even define myself. I always laugh when people introduce me. And they said, we have trouble introducing. We can't figure out exactly what you do. I said, imagine how I feel. I live with myself. But I've learned this. If you want to know who Rick Hagin's is, you need to meet R.C. He is my firstborn son. He is an artist that draws pictures that I would dream of. I could not even draw a stick man in school. I remember the teacher making fun of me and said, you hold your pencil like a caveman. I could never draw anything. But I have a son that could draw. And I have a son named Elliot that's joined the military. They would never let me in. I tried and tried to join, but they find out you've broke your back, your hips held together with pins. They turned me away from the Army, so I went to the Air Force, and I thought I'll sneak in the Air Force. But once they do the physical and see the scars on your back, they say, we don't want you. But my son Elliot is going in the Coast Guard. He wants to jump out of helicopters in the middle of storms and save people. And I thought, you know what, I'm proud of him for doing that. And I think that's a little bit of what I do. I don't jump out of helicopters. I'm scared of heights. But I go into storms and try to save people. And I have a daughter who's flying home right now. She better be from Los Angeles on a school trip. She is more pretty than I could ever be. She takes after her mother. Even though she's adopted, she just absorbed Kim's prettiness. And if you wanted to know me, you could say, I don't understand, I can't define him, but there's a son named R.C. There's a son named Elliot. There's a daughter named Dreamer that he's raised. You learn about the father by the son. And I have a son right here. Come here. If you want to know the Father, you find him through the Son. And God knew we would have difficulties in defining him and coming to him. She said, let me make it easy. I come as a baby. And I grew up as a boy and a man, live a perfect life. And you're still going to take me and put me on a cross. And there on a cross, in the face of his son, you'll have no confusion who God is. And tonight, I'm not trying to draw you to myself. Even this lovely church here, I know Pastor Carter and the people here would never try to draw you to themselves, because we'll let you down. I'll let you down. I tell people that come, my interns that are coming from Summit, I tell them two things. Number one, I promise that I'll love you, and I promise that I will disappoint you. Promise, guaranteed. But when you come to Jesus, you come with all your masks, and you know what he does? He has a way of taking that mask off. He has a way of changing you simply by beholding him. When you behold him as he is, you don't have to worry about who you are. I'm telling you, I've seen prostitutes come to our women's home. Hard, cold women melt into mamas at the cross. I've seen junkies come to his place with all tattooed up and rough and ramblers and the type of guy you would run away from on the street. But they meet Jesus at the cross, and they become the one that runs to you to open the door to serve you, because they're changed by beholding who he is. I see people come in with all kinds of masks and all kinds of faces. But as you behold his face, you know what? It all melts away. So tonight, I'm not here to tell you to take this off or take that off. You can't. You just replace it with another mask. But when you come before him and just say, God, I behold who you are. I believe that you really were real, that you lived, that you died, that you rose again. And when you see him on the cross, when you behold him, there comes a changing in you. Those masks just melt away. And the Bible says that you're made more and more like him. I love the very last chapter of the Bible. It says in heaven, this is in heaven, but Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. In Revelation 22:4, it says, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Moses lived to see his face and hid when he came near. David had a heart after God's, and yet he hid his face in another man's wife's love, not knowing how to really draw near. All through the Bible, people had a chance, an opportunity, but until there was a cross, no one could draw near. No one could see him face to face. And when you come to the cross, you see the face of God, you're changed. He changes you. And the Bible says his name will be on their foreheads. I think that's what he means. I look at my boys and I say, that one, he's mine. That one, he's mine. And the Lord looks at you and he says, that one, he's mine. That Marco dancing in those shoes, that's mine. That Delilah, she's mine. She said that. She didn't know maybe with her father there was something, but God said, no, she's mine. This one's mine. This one praising like Gungam style right here. He's mine. Mark Gaston, no, that one's mine. A big one's mine. Look, God says he marks us not by something we do. We're all unique. We're all different. But when we come to the cross, when we come to know him as Lord, when we walk with him, he said, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. That's who Rick Higgins is. He is. His. That's all I've ever wanted. That's all I've ever wanted. Be his. To be loved. And tonight I want to give you the opportunity. The wonderful opportunity. I came to an altar in a little church, Northside Baptist Church, Highway 431 North in Opelika. A southerner has a hard time coming north to find something good. But I've come to 431 North, Northside Baptist Church, and heard a girl sing, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And it peeled all the pretense away. It touched all the hurt and pain. The rest of my life, it's been other encounters, but they all go back to that one touch, that one calling forward. And tonight, God's calling you. We're going to stand to our feet in just a second. And maybe you say, you know what, I wear a mask, and I think if I took this mask off, you wouldn't really love me. Well, yes, he would. He knows what's underneath already. And all he asks is that you come forward and say, you know what? Lord Jesus, here I am. This preacher from Alabama, he says you would love me, and I give you myself. If you want me, here I am. He'll take you. He'll choose you. He'll pick you. You'll behold his face. And as you behold his face, you will be changed. Glory unto glory, the Bible. There's something glorious that happens, and you'll be changed. And then all at once, you'll feel different what it is. You're just walking up and down the streets. Even if the line comes, you won't worry, because you'll know the Father says, he's mine, she's mine. They'll back off when they know that you're his. So I want to pray. I want you to stand to your feet. And if there's anything in you that you think, oh, God would not love this part of me, you come and just behold his face here tonight. Allow him to look upon you. Allow him to look upon you. Gives you the chance to look upon him. Say, oh, Lord Jesus, Oh, Lord Jesus, that you would die for a sinner such as I. As the songwriter said, oh, the glory, oh, the glory. God, do that right now. We've heard such wonderful stories. They're history. They're your story, God. You touched this girl, Delilah, and you changed her. This man named Marco, God, you were faithful to love him when he did not feel loving. And God, you brought them to yourself. You did that with me. God, you do that with whoever. Call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, we'll be saved. So tonight, oh, anyone has any doubt about who the God is, or some confusion about who God, let them look to the Son, dying on the cross, giving his life in exchange for ours. That is the good news of the gospel. Oh, God, do that now, I pray. Speak to these people, Lord, clearly, above and beyond my words. God, speak to these people. Let them know, each and every one individually, that you love them, that you love them, that you see who they really are. The masks don't scare you. You're not scared. You're drawn to us. And God, may we now be drawn to you in Jesus' name. We're gonna sing. You may want to come and join these already. Come into the altar. Just say, Lord, touch me, love me. Oh, his hand is a loving hand. It is a loving hand. Oh, his face, when you behold it, it is a loving face. And if you have a need, you come to this altar tonight, and we're going to call out to God even as this choir sings, and God's going to meet you here. He's going to meet you here. It's going to make a difference in your life forever, forever. You come. Look at me just for a second. I want to pray with those of you that have had the honesty to come. We're such posers in the church. We think we have to look a certain way. We think we have to feel a certain way. And God said, come as you are. You won't, if you come as you are, you won't leave as you came. I can tell you that. He'll do something in you. He'll do something in you. And you step forward, and I just can't help but believe. I know the Bible says angels in heaven rejoice. And one sinner, and all of heaven said, we're glad. We're glad that you came. We're glad that you came. And God's going to walk with you. As you follow after him, he's going to walk with you. I encourage you, one way that you come near to the cross, one way you know what the Father looks like, you stay in a church, in a body. He leaves a body, which is his church here. And there, Times Square Church is such a beautiful picture of that, because if you look here tonight, we have all different colors, all different ages, all different types of people. And God said, he loved every one of you. So Pastor Carl Ted just said there's an opportunity to get involved in a group. The small groups don't save you. It just helps you to think, wow, I am saved. You learn more and more about that. And the other thing, it gives you opportunity then as a group to go to the other favorite people Jesus loved, the lost and broken people out there in the street. And as you go out there, what'll happen, you'll find more and more who you are. You'll think, I'm just so weak, you know, I'm just such a quiet person. And all at once you'll find a weak, quiet person out there who's drawn to the Christ in you. Or you may be a loud, outgoing, rambunctious person, and God will never tell you, shh, shh. You know, you have to be like a monk or something to follow me. He'll take your uniqueness and use it for his glory. That's what the church is here for, just to help you walk on that journey, and then you help us. I'm helped. I go back to Alabama to a group that's mostly, you know, black people and white people. We don't have lots of just different colors there. A few more. But I come here and I think, wow, God, this is so wonderful. And my faith is strengthened by you. To see honest people come forward, young and old alike, you strengthen us. So I want to pray for you and thank you for coming. And Pastor Carter's going to come and dismiss you, let you know about some different groups you can get involved with. And I look forward, if I don't see you again here, you're welcome to Alabama, but if we miss in Alabama or New York, then in heaven we're going to see each other, and we'll see him. Yeah. Revelation said we'll see him face to face. We'll see him face to face, and there'll be a marker that says, he's mine, she's mine. Oh, aren't you glad that we're his? Father God, I thank you for these honest people that came forward tonight and just said, Oh, there are things in my heart that give me great trouble. There's masks that I wear. There's games that I play. And God, they came forward to lay that down as sin. It is the doing of our own hands, which is the undoing of our own life. And God, they step forward in honesty. I know, because the Bible says you can't even lie. I know that you're here to meet them, to reach down and touch them, to change them forevermore. As they put their faith in you, God, you do a work in them that is eternal. That is eternal. God, I'm so humbled and so thankful that I could be here tonight and see these men and women come forward. I am different because they were willing to be different. Oh, God, touch them. Be real in their life. God, be real in their life. May even as they leave here tonight, may they feel that gentle stirring of their spirit. May they hear your voice saying, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Oh, God, I thank you that you've moved tonight. In Jesus' name, move on. Amen. Amen.